time of year is to go downtown and walk down Michigan Avenue and see all the wonderful and ingenious Christmas displays that are in the store windows. Not only do they have their absolute very best on display, but the lights and the movement, and there's always something hopping and jumping around in the windows, and it's really, really fun. It just makes you happy. But not enough to actually go in and buy something. All of the big catalogs come out this time of year. I am sure that there are people on Thanksgiving who spent so much time going through all of those awesome, fun Black Friday catalogs with no intention of braving the crowds on Friday morning. But it's fun to look, right? Fun to look. You might be looking through that magazine or that catalog and be like, ooh, that is nice. That is awesome. That would be so cool to have. I would really like to have that. But they don't. They don't follow through with the purchase. Well, there could be any number of reasons why that it doesn't happen. Commonly is just because it's too expensive. They don't want to pay what that thing's going to cost for them, even at the Black Friday deal. Still way too expensive. Sometimes they think that they don't need it. It's nice. Can't deny that that's a cool looking thing right there, but I'm good with what I have. I don't need what that is. Another reason why it might be like while they like it and they think it looks really cool, they're not really sure how it's going to look on them. It's not my style. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can pull off that look. I personally like trench coats or like the big long dusters that cowboys wear. Not built for me. I put on one of those and I look like a kid wearing my dad's coat. I can't pull off that look regardless of how cool I think it is. I'm not going to look like a cowboy. Just the boy part. And sometimes people won't purchase something because they feel they don't deserve it. Something's holding them back because they feel that they have not earned the right to get that nice thing. And that's a reality too. And I sometimes think that those same reasons are what hold people back from making themselves right with God. There are things that they know that they need to do to make themselves right with God, but maybe they don't think they need it. Maybe they see it as something that's going to cost more than they're willing to pay. Maybe they look at it and recognize it as something that's nice and maybe actually might be good for them, but deep down, they actually don't go through with it for some reason. And I'm worried that sometimes when it comes to our spiritual life, there are people who are just window shopping. There is a garment for those that have decided to follow Jesus. He has said so in Revelations chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there is a garment. There is something very special that is available to everybody who really seeks it. And yet, for some reason, those same four reasons, those same four arguments that they have for why they don't make themselves right with God, I want to look at those four thoughts today. You're right. it is way too expensive. You could not afford what this garment costs. But you didn't pay for it. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus paid for that garment when he died on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, of whom, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And in that same chapter, same book, I should say, in the next chapter, in chapter 7, it says, "You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men." The price for that garment was already paid. Jesus paid that price. There's no way you can afford that white garment, but you don't have to worry about that. Matthew chapter 18. There is a parable there that I really like to read sometimes. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 27. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." So why am I bringing up this particular verse with this particular idea? 10,000 talents? There was absolutely no way this man was ever going to be able to pay this off. He was promising something he could not fulfill. He was not going to be able to live long enough and work hard enough. The amount of money, 10,000 talents, I don't know how you rack up that much debt, but he did. And there was absolutely no way he was going to be able to pay that off. He was promising something he could not follow up on. So the king, out of pity, forgave him. Did that make the debt go away? Who ended up eating that debt? The king did. That debt did not go away. And as a matter of fact, the king, in releasing and forgiving, the king said, "I'm just going to eat that debt. I'll take care of it." We often use the word redeemed. We call Jesus the Redeemer. That, what does it mean? To redeem means to buy back. We were once gods, but sin separated us from him, and Jesus bought us back. And that fine, clean, white outfit was purchased with the blood of Jesus, and it's ready for you to claim it and to put it on. Yes, there's a dry cleaning fee. There's something you need to do. If you get it soiled, there is something you need to do to get it white again. But it's there, and it's yours if you want it. So don't worry about it being too expensive, because that price was already paid. I'm afraid too often this is maybe the reason that people don't obey. They don't think they need to. I'm a good person. On the whole, I've done more good things in my life than bad things. I'm nice to my grandma. I don't kick squirrels. I pay my taxes. And if heaven is real, then any path that's going to get you there is just fine. We use this exact same verse when we talk about the Lord's Supper. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the only way. Okay? But do I still need it? Well, there's two verses back to back when we look at that. I want to look at Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 1 John 1:8. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It is our goal to try to be just like Jesus, but Jesus lived a sinless life. He was tempted in every way as we were, except he did not sin. And I don't care how long you've been on this planet, there's been times where you've messed up, and you have messed up big. Maybe more than once. But thanks to the blood of Jesus, and thanks to forgiveness that you have through that, you can be clean again. But that can't happen if you don't take advantage of it. And we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. It says, it is appointed for man to die, and after that comes the judgment. It's going to happen. That's the thing about this life. Nobody gets out of here alive. One out of every one person will die. And after that comes the judgment. And it says that he will be here to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. You will die. Christ will come again and save those that are eagerly waiting for him. Not nonchalantly waiting for him. Eagerly. Those that are loitering for Jesus. That's not what this is saying. Eagerly waiting for him. I got other stuff to do, and if Jesus comes, I guess that's cool. You know, this is not talking to people that don't really know Jesus. This is talking to those who know about Jesus but are not eagerly waiting for his kingdom. This is talking to you and me too. This expensive garment that has already been paid for, trust me, you need it. Everybody needs this garment. Well, I'm just not a churchy kind of person. I don't look like a Christian. What does that mean? What does that even mean? That's the great thing. This look, this garment, this style was designed for everybody. Everybody can pull off this style. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There was a time in the Old Testament when God had a special relationship with the children of Israel. But just as we talked about in the Lord's Supper, when that veil was torn, it signified that anybody, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, could come before God. Whether you are a ruler or a servant, God wants everyone to be saved. Regardless of your station in life, you will need salvation. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that verse that every kid who's ever spent any time in a Bible class can quote for us. John 3:16. For God so loved a small handful of people. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Think about how diverse the Lord's church actually is. Years ago, after the triplets turned one, My wife and I we survived 1 year of triplets vacation. Just the two of us, and we got a chance to go to the Virgin Islands, and we worshiped with a church there. Because you can find a church anywhere if you look. And we found a church in the Virgin Islands, and there was not another person in that church that looked like we did. But we were welcomed like family, because that's what we were. They were so happy and so eager to talk to us and find out about us. Where are you staying? Is there anything that you need? They just welcomed us with open arms. And if you are a Christian, you have that same opportunity when you go anywhere. One of the cool things I like about being a Christian and having Christian friends all over the United States is that pretty much you got a place to crash if you need it. Because we have this love for each other. This congregation here, so many different types here. One of the things I like about this congregation is if you're somebody with kids, there's no telling where your kids are sitting on Sunday morning. I mean, at least with my kids, like, oh, I got to sit with mom and dad this morning. But our kids are spread out all over this congregation because we love each other and we take care of each other. He's not here, so I'm going to make fun of him. I love that a grizzled old veteran like Fred Childers can have a precious little girl sitting next to him, and they're just doodling and talking back and forth. That possibility of a friendship most likely would not exist outside of the Lord's church. Fred Childers and a little girl would probably not follow around in the same paths and just come across each other and just find out, oh, you like to doodle too. Well, let's start a doodle club. That would not happen probably outside of the Lord's church. And yet, that's what we have here. People from every nationality, every walk of life, every body style, regardless of family history, personal history, regardless of the weakness and personal demons you battle every day, this garment is for you. If you want it, if you have faith in it, believe me, you can do it. Because you have the love of Jesus, and you have the support of every other Christian trying just as hard as you are. Don't deserve it. Well, yes and no. Do you think you deserve Jesus dying on the cross for you and your sins? No, I am not deserving of such a sacrifice. I'm not. But Jesus thought we were worth it. I don't think I'm worth it, but Jesus thought I was. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 reads, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He didn't just love us. He chose to save us. And it goes even beyond that. He chose not only to save us, but to adopt us and make us a part of his family. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Galatians 4:4-7 reads, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." We notice that they toss out that word Abba, Father a lot. Abba is a Jewish term for father, but it's more closely related to the word daddy. It's what you call your father in a very, very loving way. This is not just saying, father. This is saying, daddy. That is the relationship that we have because we have been adopted and heirs. So while you don't deserve it, you are worth it. Jesus believed it, and you need to believe it too. I want to go back and I want to reread Revelations, the one that we started it off with. I want to reread that. Remember then that what you received and heard. Keep it and repent it. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And did you catch that? For they are worthy. Those garments that are set aside, they are worthy. You are worthy. Or you can be. If you follow him and the guidelines he set for your life, you don't have to be on the outside looking in. You don't have to be on the other side of that window looking at that cool thing and thinking it's too expensive. I can't pull that off. I don't need it. I'm not worthy of that. You can have that wonderful, pure, white garment and wear it for all eternity in heaven and in his presence. If you're here this morning and you recognize that your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, please do something about it. It doesn't have to be some kind of a public confession. But if there's something standing in the way between you and God, you need to examine that and you need to remove that as quickly as possible. Because as it says here in the Revelation that we read, that he's going to come like a thief. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And that example is always used because most thieves do not call ahead of time. Hi, yeah, this is Robber Bob. Just want to let you know about 2:30 in the morning, I'm going to break your window. Your kitchen window, the left kitchen window, yes, that one. I'm going to crawl through, all right? And if you could just go ahead and unplug your big screen for me, I'd appreciate that. But that's not how a thief operates. And when Christ comes again, we are not going to know. So you need to be prepared. Be prepared. Before you go to sleep tonight, know that you are clean. Know that you have all those things that are set for you. If there's anything that you need, we ask that you come forward now while we stand and while we sing.